Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, the PBS show. This old house turns 30 this season with 17 Emmy Awards under its tool belt and millions of devoted fans. The show tackles everything from sprucing up a tired lawn to finishing up a marble shower extravaganza, like this one from a project in Bermuda. Host Kevin O'Connor.
You've got to check this out. Not even in the most over-the-top magazine have you seen a deal like this.
And the crew is hopping in the background. At 30, this old house has seen just about everything. But America's housing and media markets and demographics and economy are changing. We'll ask what that means for the show and our old houses. This hour on Point PBS's This Old House at 30. You can join the conversation. Do you remember the early days? Are you still on board with this old house? Is a new generation strapping on the tool belt? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Last week, I visited this season's This Old House worksite in Newton Center, Massachusetts. The show's general manager, general contractor, Tom Silva, took me through the 1915 Dutch colonial revival house. There were tools and work crew and producers everywhere. Here we're in the kitchen where the cabinets just went up.
We're going to be out of here the middle of November.
Just in time for winter. I see a producer saying 4 weeks. Like, oh, we got to do it. All right, well, bring on the crew. Bring on
the
hammers.
She knows a lot more about the time than I do. I just come each day and do what we have to do.
Right, right.
And she yells at me because we're not doing it fast enough.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
But, oh, no. I can see
it's
it.
It's fun stuff.
This Old House, rolling on at 30. Joining me today in the studio is This Old House host Kevin O'Connor. He's now in his sixth season as host of This Old House and Ask This Old House. Kevin O'Connor, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Norm Abram is here, master carpenter of This Old House since the show's premiere in 1979, also the longtime host of the New Yankee Workshop, which just wrapped after 21 seasons on the air. Norm Abram, wonderful to have you here as well.
Thank you, Tom.
And This Old House senior series producer, Deborah Hood, is here. She's been with the show for 7 years. I saw her pushing the production at the job site last week. Deb, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
So, Norm, you were there at the very, very beginning.
Yeah, when the first nail and first saw cut was made.
Had you ever done TV?
No, I hadn't. And it was certainly not on my radar screen. I had no idea of even thinking about getting on television. I was a general contractor just doing my job.
And 30 years, did you imagine that this thing would be going on? I mean, that's a huge amount
right,
of time.
Right. Not at all. I mean, I'm still amazed. I have to pinch myself every time someone says, you've been on for 30 years. And I go, wow, that's hard to believe. I mean, my daughter was born during the second This Old House,
right?
And she'll be 29 in December, so I know we've been around that long.
Kevin O'Connor, and now you're hosting at the helm. Do you feel that history in the show when you're doing this still, house by house by house? Can you feel like the ghosts of This Old House, houses past behind you all the time?
Well, the ghosts of This Old House is past are over my shoulder every day because the guys who started the show are still there, and I'm in their midst day to day. So absolutely, I feel that pressure, but I also feel that honor of being part of the team.
Deb, how many houses at this point?
I think we're up to 56 and counting, I think.
56 houses essentially made over 30 years?
Absolutely.
That's a lot of houses. And in this season, you've chosen not a mega This Old House, but a lovely but more modestly scaled house. Why this house? Why this year, Kevin?
Well, I think modest is an appropriate description. I think we also use the word restraint. Given what's going on in the economy and particularly in the housing industry, restraint and modesty are appropriate, but it's also something that resonates with a lot of people. You have a house that you love, your family grows, you want to stay in the neighborhood, and you need a little bit more space, and you want to update your kitchen. So 350 square feet for a new family room and two home offices for parents who work at home and a kitchen redo is something that a lot of people dream for and a lot of things that we're working on this season.
Right now, people would be happy just to pull that kind of addition to a home off in an economy like this.
Absolutely.
Norm, but you've seen seen some pretty amazing houses as well. I mean, you know, big projects over those years.
Sure. I mean, this old house, part of this old house is the dream. And everyone has a dream of living in a house that they're really proud of and comfortable in. And there's a lot of things that can go into that. And we've done some pretty extensive projects. One that we did, it was only 5 years ago, the 25th anniversary, we did in Carlisle, Mass. It was an old farmhouse with a barn. And we basically refurbed the entire house. The house itself needed a lot of work. There were parts of it we had to tear down and reconstruct. And it was an old barn that we actually wanted to keep, mm-hmm. but turn it into living space. So we got a lot of mileage out of that one.
Deborah Hood, do you look back on that now and see that the big projects like that as really part of the housing boom the whole country was in the middle of? Was this old house in the middle of it too, in a way?
I think maybe, but I think also on the show, when you've got craftspeople like Norm Abram and Tom Silva, part of the joy and the excitement of it is giving them challenges, is sort of seeing, I mean, the way Norm progressed on New Yankee from building a bookshelf to, a chest of Tiger Maple. And so part of it's just sort of seeing what they can do. This was a 7,000 square foot house, and it's just exciting to see them pull off something like that.
Of course, in 30 years, you've seen a lot of kinds of economy as well. If we go all the way back, here's some tape from the very first episode of This Old House with Bob Vila. Remember Bob? In 1979, he's in front of a rundown house in Dorchester, Massachusetts.
The purpose of our series is to show you the many steps involved in taking an old house that's fallen on really hard times and saving it, turning it back into a home that a family can be proud of. In today's economy, more people than ever are buying houses that need substantial fixing up because they can still be bought for a reasonable amount of money.
And there they are. The purpose of our house is sort of our series, and the series goes on and on 30 years later. I mean, it's just incredible. And the sort of enthusiasts you've got, I mean, now your own material describes this old house as a multifaceted lifestyle brand. You've got website, magazine, more than one show, all the rest. This is from the latest edition of the magazine. And here's Abby in Seattle saying, just read the July-August issue. Have to say, I haven't felt this way about an issue of any magazine in ages. Each article struck a chord. The paint combos, faucet anatomy, budget kitchen upgrades. I mean, Norma, it just caught my eye. Faucet anatomy, you've got people who are really into this stuff.
Well, you know, that's part of the mission of this old house, is to demystify the whole renovation process. I mean, when Russell Morash came up with the idea 30 years ago, you know, we really wanted to do a few things. One is show people how to do some of the things themselves, understand the language of renovation, mm-hmm. and appreciate craftsmanship. And things like in the anatomy of a faucet, I mean, how many people really know
what's going
what goes
on
into
in there.
It. Mm-hmm. And there are so many homeowners who are struggling weekend after weekend trying to fix the leaky faucet. So that's part of the educational process. That's what it's all about.
So, Kevin, is it for the DIY, do-it-yourself viewer primarily today, or is it for the viewer who's going to be working with a contractor so they've got the vocabulary and the insight to kind of look over the shoulder and keep tabs on what's going on?
I think it's for both. Embedded within the show, This Old House, you are going to see grand dreams that involve very skilled carpenters and architects talking about the dream. Mm-hmm. You are also going to see scenes where Kevin O'Connor, the new guy, picks up a hammer and is taught sort of how to do the basics. Mm-hmm. But 7 years ago, we launched a sister show, Ask This Old House, mm-hmm. and what the focus of that show is, it's the same cast of characters. The focus of that show is helping people through projects that they would think about taking on in the course of a weekend. Help me fix a leaky faucet. Help me build the deck. I've got a door that needs to be hung. And so between the two shows, we're talking about the dream. We're talking about what every person can do in the course of, say, 6, 7, 8 hours on the weekend as well.
And Deb, what about the explosion of house shows on television? I mean, since you were born, HGTV's been born, a whole cable network devoted to this. You've got shows all over the place. I mean, they've got Lord knows how many shows, and Bravo's got flipping houses. ABC, very successful with Extreme Makeover, Home Edition. People weep and, you know, cry and cheer every week with them. What's the distinction between the This Old House project and the plethora of other, you know, let's pick up a hammer shows that have grown out there?
Well, I think we just think of them as completely different animals. We're often asked if we consider them competition, and the answer to that is really no. I think those shows are more about human drama and about that kind of a story, and we are a drama about the building of a house. Nothing in our show, you know, very little in the real world construction happens in a day or a week even. You know, we renovate a house over the course of multiple months, over multiple episodes, and that's just a little more anchored in reality, and that's what we're about.
Though, your homeowners are often right in the middle of it. We met the lovely owners, the Pierces, of your Newton, Massachusetts house last week. I mean, they're in there while you're in there, and sometimes with a shovel or a hammer in hand.
They haven't cried yet, though.
Are you sure? Late at night when the lights are off. Ouch, ouch.
I mean, they're part of the drama, certainly, because they're going through that anxiety that any homeowner goes through when they are renovating their house. And in this case, they're living in the house during the construction. Mm. So is the drama there? Yes. Is it the focal point of our show? No. The show is about the house and about the craftsmanship and about the work. And just listening back to that quote from Bob Vila 30 years ago, you know, what he said is almost as applicable today as it was 30 years ago. It is about helping people fix up these homes.
So what do you think when you watch Extreme Makeover, Kevin? Do you envy the guys who come in, let's go change this house, come on, and the whole town crowding in behind you? Do you want to do that?
I personally don't want to do that. I don't want to have to be screaming at the camera in terms of the television aspect of the whole thing, but I also don't want to be in a situation where I have to live in a house that the home is torn down and destroyed and then rebuilt over the course of, say, 4, 5, 6 days. I've seen what these guys yeah. do. I've seen the trouble these houses can present, and I know you don't want to rush through this stuff. And so for me, the right way to build a house is to do it deliberately and do it in the right amount of time. That's not what they're doing on those shows, though. Those right. shows, as Deborah said, are about the human drama. It just so happens there's a house in the background.
Right. Did you give birth to Extreme Makeover, Norm? Was that your gift to humanity?
So. I don't think so. But, you know, I did want to make a point about our homeowners. You know, homeowners are really part of the equation because every homeowner has to go through this experience. So part of it can just be the emotional side, and sometimes we show that. But on the how-to side, other homeowners watching the show, DIY homeowners, are inspired by seeing those homeowners work.
Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about This Old House, the long-running PBS series of Hammers and Nails and Dreams at 30. It started in 1979. Norm Abram is here. He's been there since the very beginning, master carpenter of This Old House, with us in the studio. The host today, Kevin O'Connor. Now, 7 years, Kevin, with the show.
7 years.
And still learning with every job, as we all do, with us. And Deborah Hood here, senior series producer. I've seen her crack the whip. She makes it all happen on the job site. You can join the conversation as well. Are you a This Old House fan? Have you watched since way back when? Is this where you learned carpentry, plumbing, home improvement, how to hold the place together? Is it a how-to manual for you, an escape? What? Let's listen to a little more. This is from the show's 25th season. Kevin and Norm take a tour of a Washington, D.C. project, a 130-year-old classic row house in terrible shape, with project director of a project called Mikasa. This is Ellen Zerberg here. Mikasa helps lower-income families afford quality housing. Norm notices that he's one of many people who have passed through this house.
Ah, looks like they walked off in wood, and just the mantle. There's no trim around this big, huge door opening,
you're
which...
Right.
Hey, the pocket doors are gone, too.
Yeah, you expect to see something, but it's all gone.
Yeah, at one time, it originally had quite a bit of decorative molding.
Wow.
So the house was abandoned. It went into back taxes. Then it was taken over. Then there was a fire, and it's since been picked clean.
Pocket doors gone, mantle gone, picked clean. I mean, this is a story that's repeated all across this country right now with all the foreclosures going on. It looks to me, Kevin, there may be a huge wave of interest in This Old House when and if the economy gets back together, because people are going to have a lot of, dilapidated, foreclosed housing stock to work on. The pictures we see are just unbelievable.
Well, I think it's regardless of whether the economy comes back or not. Hopefully it will, and I'm sure it will, but folks are staying in their homes, and they want to improve the space that surrounds them and where they live, and that's why I think This Old House and many of these other shows are applicable to them. They want to be self-empowered to improve their living space, whether they have a bank account full of money or whether they are rubbing two nickels together. And this show, because it is about teaching and educating and inspiring, I think can get a lot of people into a position where they can fix up their own space. It's the show that I watched growing up as a kid on the couch with my dad watching Norm and the Guys, and it's the show and the magazine that I turned to when I was renovating my own house because I wanted to do it myself. I wanted to save a buck, but I wanted to have that satisfaction of taking my space and making it personal to me and my family.
Norm Abram, for this old house in the 30 years from 1979 to 2009, an old house like your current project, 1915. Old houses meant 1915, 25, 35, I don't know, 45. But now, an old house may be something built, you know, in the 60s. Even in 1979 begins to qualify as this old house. What's the difference in the kind of advice you're going to be giving? This isn't going to be old, you know, oak this and that built by craftsmen way back when you're bringing it back into perfect shape. What's it going to mean to talk about this old house when this old house was maybe built while your show's been on the air?
Well, I think, you know, I think an old house, a really old house that's 150, 200 years old, has very similar problems to a newer house. I mean, it's just there's a slightly different method of construction that had been used. I mean, when we first started doing this old house, you know, people would say, well, they don't build them like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
And we would say, God, it's a good thing they don't.
Because what?
Well, because back then, they had great timber, I will admit that, but structurally they didn't know a lot about the structure of a house. And so many times you'll see in our projects, every old house we get into has huge structural problems. And today we have the ability to build houses that are structurally sound with new materials that are environmentally friendly, and they should be able to last. Just, you know, they should be able to last a couple hundred years if they're built properly.
We have the ability to do that, but I'm looking at a lot of houses that don't look like they were built that way. We've got Chinese drywall giving off I don't know what kind of chemicals and insurance companies refusing even to insure it.
Right. And so, you know, with an old house, you're faced with the structural problems and horsehair plaster and asbestos on the pipes. In a house maybe built in the 60s, it's understructured. You got bad drywall. You have mold. Our job moving forward will to help guide people through those challenges. So along the way, we learn the new technology and the new techniques, and we'll pass it on, and hopefully they'll be successful.
Deb, do viewers want to see on this old house, a house that was built in 1969, 1979?
Oh, sure. I mean, we did a house a few years back that was from 1950, a modern house almost in the Bauhaus style in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And so, I mean, old houses get newer every day. So, I mean, we'll be right along with them, absolutely.
We've got a zillion listeners who want to join this conversation. Let's go to West Hartford, Connecticut, and Paul, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. What do you know?
I'm sorry, what?
We're pretty well. What do you know, Paul?
Oh, what do I know? Well, I grew up watching this old house, and it inspired me a lot as a child. I grew up watching it with my dad. He was a carpenter. And over the past 3 years, I've been rebuilding a mid-century modern home and taking in a lot of the things I've learned over the years on this old house. And I think I owe a lot of thanks to, like, Norm Abram, Bob Biela, and Kevin O'Connell.
So what do you watch it for exactly, Paul? Do you listen for Kevin's questions, which may be your questions? Are you looking to see exactly how Norm lines up the saw and takes care of a particular problem, the how-to part or inspiration?
Well, a lot of the how-to and the inspiration and a lot of the ideas, Norm's craftsmanship is up there, much better than mine, ever could be, probably. But it's basically just inspirational. Old houses have a lot of charm and character, and I don't know. It's a satisfying sense of accomplishment when you finish, you know, bringing something back to its previous state.
Absolutely. A deep part of the charm of this show. Paul, thanks for calling. Let me get one more. Mark in Franklin, Virginia. Mark, you're on the air.
Tom, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
This is an extreme honor to be able to talk to one of my heroes, Norm Abram. Thousands of people, perhaps millions of people who have watched him. I actually lost my job back in the late 80s, and everything that I learned watching that show, I knew I could go, and I just jumped into a construction job that I could take on, and I grew from there. But I'm now a building inspector, and this show is current. It helps keep, putting technology out there, and I learn from it still as I watch it today, and I just want to say thank you to Norm Abram. He's a hero of mine. I've got his picture up in my shop.
There you go. Thank you, Mark. And Norm, you saved Mark's career or gave him a new one.
I hear that a lot, you know, and that's very encouraging because, especially if it comes from young people, because we need craftsmen going into the future. And if anything that I do or Tom Silver does as carpenters and, and woodworkers and or Rich Tithui as a plumber or Roger as a landscaper to encourage young people to get into these trades, we need them. So I hopefully we're encouraging those people as well as helping people with their homes.
Kevin, who do you have in mind when you're on the show? You're taking the, you know, the cameras through the house. You're looking at the work. Is it the general viewer who, you know, maybe never picks up a tape measure? Is it a carpenter, a contractor, a building inspector? Can it be all of the above at the same time?
For me, it's mostly the homeowner. It's the person sitting on their couch who is tuned in for a half hour, who very likely is going to confront some of these decisions or some of these challenges that we confront on the show. And I feel as if I have to do, you know, a few things. First, I have to demystify what these experts are saying. Slow them down. Wait a second, Norm. Tommy, what did you just say? You know, did you just try to slip one by me?
Yep.
But really, you know, please explain that to me. Or if Richard very quickly talks about the latest technology and a condensing furnace, you know, what does that mean? Where do I find it? And tell me the pitfalls that I'm likely to run into, because when that show goes off the air, I'm not going to have them by my side. And so I feel like I'm the proxy for the viewer, and that's my experience. Growing up watching a show, wanting to do this stuff myself, I'm constantly looking for the information. So I just want to make sure that we get it clearly to the viewers.
Make sure the viewer knows, but there you've got a building inspector who's watching at the same time. And clearly the homeowners get into it. We played this some of this tape earlier today, but I just love this piece. Here you are with electrician Jimmy Cage. You're testing a new backup generator. This is in your 06-07 season in St. Louis for homeowners. Susan Greenquist. This is for a season of Ask This Old House, and just listen to her, pleasure, shall we say, when you get that generator going.
All right, so we're going to hear something.
Yeah, any second we should hear the automatic transfer switch engage over and you'll be on full generator power.
Oh, wow, this is terrific. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. That's just great. Let's get a call right here from Franklin, Tennessee. Mike, you're on the air with the This Old House crew.
Hello.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you. I'd like to say that I have been inspired by this old house ever since the Bob Vila days. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was so inspired that we bought a piece of country property here in Tennessee, and I built my own house all by myself.
And you curse him after having done that, Mike, or not?
Excuse me?
Do you curse him having taken on a project of that scale, or you still give him thanks for the inspiration?
No. I'm most thankful for all their ideas and everything. But I did send them some information about it because the house we built had an old front on it, which we kept as a storage building, and now we're starting to build the front side of the house for my wife, who has been very patient with me all these years and putting up with my foibles as far as building this old house. But I am curious as how they make their decisions about which houses to select for, you know, to be assisted in the renovations.
Oh, it's a great question, and I've heard people ask it many times because it looks like such a dream to have this crew sweep in and do something marvelous with a house. Deborah, take us through it. How does it work? I mean, do people contact you? Do you go out scouting for homes? Do you know how many emails come in, people saying, take my house, please? What do you look for?
All of that. We get letters, calls, emails all throughout the year, and about twice a year we actually start responding to them, going out, scouting houses. We'll look at maybe 10 or 20 houses before we decide on one. And we're doing a couple of things. We obviously want to keep ourselves and our viewers interested. So we're responding to, you know, trying to switch it up from what we've done in the past, spread our wings a little bit. And we're also trying to respond to the climate. So this year we're doing a more modest project in Newton. Then in Roxbury, we're also doing a project that deals with the foreclosure issue, as you mentioned earlier. So we try to stay relevant and just kind of keep it new. And so we do two houses a year, one in Boston and one in a remote location. And if you send us a letter or an email, it could be you.
What does it mean to deal a house that deals with foreclosure? This is a house that maybe one of these like we've seen that's got
absolutely
gangrene in the swimming pool and
things
that
was
stripped and ripped and.
We're partnering with the city of Boston, and they identified a very high-risk neighborhood where it's, you know, there were at least 10 houses on the street that had been foreclosed. The house we're working on, a two-family home in Roxbury, was not only foreclosed but also had been abandoned for a couple of years. And it's right up there with some of the worst conditions we've seen.
And once you pick up a project, how does it work with the homeowner? Is it free to them? Do they pay for it? What's the incentive for them to get involved? What's the deal you make with them?
They have the privilege of hiring Tom Silva, who's our general contractor.
I talked to them last week. He is on top of it, I'll say that.
Right. And so they hire him as they would in the real world, as a general contractor. I have a contract with him. They pay for the renovation. What we bring to them are discounted and donated, in some cases, goods and services. So they pay for all the labor, but they say they may get their kitchen cabinets donated, their appliances donated. And another important point is they have access to the collective brain trust that is this old house. They can walk around with Norm and pick his brain, and Richard Trethewey and Roger Cook. So it's a pretty big win.
Norm, what do you see a homeowner getting out of this that they wouldn't get out with a normal contracting job, apart from more cameras in the lawn?
Right. I think Deb mentioned one was getting Tom Silva, because that's not an easy thing to do. The other thing that happens is, because of the TV schedule, the job actually, the time period it would normally take gets compressed. So I would say, on average, we probably cut the job by at least a third.
So it's not going to drag on for 2 years if it's this old house project.
It can't. And so everything moves along. We have crews at the end of these projects in the last couple of weeks. You were at our site, and we're only a few weeks away from wrapping up. They will be doing double time. Everyone will be working there. And you say, this is never going to happen, but it always gets done.
Kevin, what kind of schedule are these jobs on then? Are you coming in with cameras every day, once a week? When you arrive for a day's shooting, are there 17 things lined up that you know you're going to focus in, bring the cameras to, talk about? How's that work?
We aren't there every day with a camera because we are letting the progress of the construction sort of progress at its own pace, albeit maybe a little faster because of the TV. But we couldn't film every day because the construction site's not moving that fast. So we're there once a week, maybe towards the end of the project when things are accelerated. We're there twice a week. And in terms of what's lined up, Deborah does a very great job of sort of making sure that all the topics are presented. We have a pretty good idea of what we're going to cover today. It's going to be a kitchen cabinet story, a laying of the floor story. But the interesting thing, and actually the liberating thing, is that nothing is scripted. People aren't handed lines. We show up. The cameras are waiting, and then contractors and homeowners start a discussion.
And you know what the issues will be on this day, the challenge or this job or that particular job, piece of the job.
Exactly. And we're just trying to find out, what would you do, Norm, in this situation? How would you get us out of this pickle? And that becomes the material, the grist for the television show.
Let's go to Lansing, Michigan. And Ken, hi, Ken, you're on the air with the This Old House crew.
Yes, I've been curious for years. One of the early episodes, Bob Vila was demonstrating removing plaster lath from a kitchen remodel job. And he was working at it with his square-pointed spade, and suddenly there was a spark. At least I thought I saw one. And then the scene cut. Did he find a hot electrical box?
Uh-oh. wanted to know for a long time. What do you say, Norm?
Well, remember? I would say the evidence is against him. I think he hit the hot electric line. I guess he forgot to tell somebody to go shut that circuit off. But you know what? Letting it go by is okay, because that's what happens. That's what happens to people, no matter how much they try to do everything they can possibly to promote safety. Things happen. Hopefully no one gets hurt. That's the key thing.
He's still up and walking around. So that's on the good, on the good side. What about the homeowners? What they get besides a fast schedule, maybe faster than usual? I mean, is this old house trying to bring in, I don't know, the latest materials, the latest way of doing X, Y, and Z, Norm?
Oh, sure. I mean, we're not going to give something to the homeowners that we all don't believe in, that it's ready for prime time. But we also – so we bring the latest materials, the latest technology, but we also bring guidance, also sometimes in the way of design. I mean, we've come up against homeowners who have an idea, and we're not really comfortable with it. And Deborah knows, we call them out on the show. We say, well, why do you really want to do that? We don't quite understand why you're going that way. We don't think that's a good decision.
Not comfortable because it flies in the face of physics, or you think it's not aesthetically a good idea?
Could be both. Could be
can't be done.
Right. Improper design. Aesthetically, it might not be the right thing to do. But ultimately, as contractors know, the homeowner makes the final decision, but we just want to make sure that our viewers see how you vet these problems and how you talk through them.
Deb, have you ever had one that just ended in collapse? I mean, everybody's heard the story of contractors and their customers, you know, ending up in blood feuds in the middle of renovation. Has it ever happened to this old house?
No, we're thankful that it's a pretty good-natured group all around. And so we and I don't know why that is, but I mean, I think people are aware of the real benefit that they're getting, and there's just a lot of goodwill, I would say.
It's respect. It's something that we also try to teach our homeowners. If homeowners respect contractors and contractors respect homeowners, everybody's happy.
Nobody ends up with a shovel in the in the back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about This Old House, the long-running PBS series. Hammers, Nails, Dreams. It is now 30 years old. Started in 1979. Seems like the Ice Ages, practically. But here we are 30 years later and a lot of houses under its tool belt. Norm Abram is with us today, master carpenter on This Old House since the show's very first outing, its premiere in 1979. Kevin O'Connor, who hosts the show today, as well as Ask This Old House, is in the studio with us. And Deborah Hood, who's senior series producer for This Old House. In its 27th season, 3 years ago now, after Katrina, This Old House went to New Orleans. During the season, the discussion went way beyond the nuts and bolts of building homes. Here's host Kevin O'Connor talking with musician and New Orleans guy, Harry Connick Jr., about why he built houses in New Orleans for displaced musicians.
Are houses the most important thing, though? I mean, you could have put up stages, you could have given them places to perform. I mean, why the house?
I think anybody's well-being and good perspective on life really kind of starts in the home.
Starts at home. We saw that in New Orleans and maybe still see it today. We've got a lot of comments on the website here. This is from Lelia. She says, this old house inspired me to just do it. I'm 47-year-old female, been painting, pulling up carpet, replacing fixtures, just recently refloored my bathroom. Really appreciate Ask This Old House because it answers so many day-to-day questions. I figure I'll try anything safely and call an expert if it gets too deep. Thanks, guys. I guess that goes with Ask This Old House to you, Kevin, and here for you, Norm. My sister always said if she had to choose one person to have with her on a deserted island, it would be Norm Abram because they could live forever in the shelter he built. Hey, there you
all
go.
Right.
Robinson Crusoe. And off you go. Let's get another call from Michigan. Dan in Lansing, you're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for all the years of both shows, This Old House and Norm. I hear you're retiring the New Yankee Workshop. If that's due to lack of projects, I've got about 10 or 11 projects.
That's good.
Anyways, I have a specific question. You had a show where you had returned to a house that had some windows in it that had a light switch that would turn them from clear to opaque. It was like a white. It was kind of looked like a privacy issue. And I did the research looking for those windows, and I can't find anything on them on the Internet. Do you remember this?
Kevin, windows that go from clear to opaque?
I remember it very well. We were at a very fancy house, I believe it was in Colorado, on top of a mountain.
Utah,
thank you, Deborah. And in fact, you had a window and there was a gas in between two panes of glass.
Yeah.
And when the light switch went on, the electricity charged the gas and made it go opaque. And it was just for that. It was for privacy. Unfortunately, we don't say brand names on the show, so I don't think we ever said it. And I don't remember who made it. So I can't.
There's no way to get Dan to that window that goes opaque. Do you keep a list of, elements you use at a website?
We do. And that was actually, I believe that was a show house for manufacturer Anderson Windows did that show house. So whether product is commercially available, I'm not sure.
It was very cutting edge at the time, and
right.
That was probably 3 or 4 years ago. And yep. To Deborah's point, I'm not sure if that made it to market or not.
But it's an example of the kind of product that they might have donated to get into the show, to get onto your show. I mean,
well, that particular show was a concept house that we toured.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know that we'd put in something so experimental on one of our...
We wouldn't be embarrassed, however, to recommend shades.
Well, no, not at all. Dan, there's a hint for you anyway. I hope you can track that down out of Lansing. Norm, what about where you see American homes going? Are we going to see homes that are... You know, still, we've had a kind of revival of older style architecture, at least in recent years. But is this old house has got 30 years under its belt now? Where do you see homes going in design terms, in technology terms?
are we going to see a real change away with all the energy issues we're facing now from the kind of homes we've built and rebuilt in these 30 years?
Right. Well, I think in terms of newer homes moving forward, I think, and with existing homes, as you mentioned, energy is, in my mind, number one concern right now. And, you know, we're going to try to do everything to show people how to make their homes more energy efficient, because with the cost of fuel and all the other considerations, we've got to do that. In terms of style, you know, there's a lot of architects and designers out there who are getting more inspiration from historic styles of the past and seem to be incorporating them into newer homes. It's not like a developer building 400 houses that all look the same and they really don't have much character. I think people want more character in their homes. But I also think we're entering an age of downsizing. I think the McMansion days are over. In fact, I was talking to someone the other day, said, what are we going to do with all these homes when people are not going to be living in them anymore? Smaller is better. I think small house is part of what we've tried to concentrate on, and I think that's where we're going.
Does it give you a different target, Deb, when you're looking for homes? Are you generally looking for smaller houses now? Because what you don't get there, which was very big in the 90s and this decade, was the, you know, like, oh, let's ogle the amazing big house kind of dynamic.
Right. Well, I think you visited our house last week. Even though it's a modest project, there are still some really fantastic spaces
in there.
Oh,
it's lovely. Absolutely.
Of a home
and
library.
And more now that you're adding it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, I think it depends on what's important to people. I mean, a simple window seat can be, you know, a special conversation area in a house. So I think that's not a concern. I think we can always find great content in houses of any size.
You feel confident, Kevin? You don't want to stride around a big, amazing house that people makes their jaw drop and say, oh.
Oh, we do want to do that.
Yeah.
We still want to do that.
I'm torn because I want to Deborah's point, I want to challenge these guys and I want to do a grand renovation that requires all of our faculties. But at the same time, I understand that most people don't live in 5,000-10,000 square foot houses. I will, however, take a little bit of issue with Norm's point about the age of the McMansion is dead or downsizing is the future. The evidence doesn't really bear that out. People are getting bigger homes than they have.
Even now, I mean, or is that from 2006 or even to the lip of, you know, 2007 and 8 before the full crash?
If you compare it to the McMansions, to the 8,000, 10,000 square foot homes, those were always anomalies. They certainly grabbed our attention. But if you look at just the average size of the American home, the new home being built, the figures are quite dramatic. Over the last 50 years, they have more than doubled in size. And that trend continues. There is a blip right now because the people who are buying and building homes tend to be first-time home buyers, so those are generally smaller. But we can have bigger homes because we can either afford them or we can build them more cheaply, and that has been the general trend. Now, keep in mind, the average size new house is only somewhere around 2,400 square feet. So that's not a huge home.
But not a bad size either.
But not a bad size either. So, you know, big is not necessarily bad. Maybe at 10,000 feet, you can take issue with it.
Hard to heat that sucker, or maybe you can insulate it up. But Norma, you agree or not? You were saying you don't know what we're going to do with all these big homes.
Well, I don't have a problem with the 2,400 square foot home. In fact, I think that's a great that'll be a majority. I think that's a good place to have the majority. I do take issue with the 10,000 foot homes or even the 6,000 or 7,000 foot homes. I mean, you think back, you talk about renovating old houses. They don't have to be big. The first house in Dorchester was a very modest home, and we didn't add a square inch to it, and rooms were more than adequate. So we can still find old houses that are small that need to be rehabbed. I do agree with Kevin that, you know, that the average home, if the average home is in that 2,400, 3,000 square foot range, I don't have issue with that. We can build efficient homes at that level. It's the 10,000 square foot homes. And what happens to those? Don't know.
We will see. Ray in Rockport, Massachusetts, you're on the air, Ray.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking this call.
Yeah.
I'm interested in houses that don't use heat. I read about them most recently yesterday in the Boston Globe and earlier in the New York Times. The technology seems to be available, and I was wondering why more houses aren't built that don't need heat and whether old houses can be rebuilt.
Now, when you say don't need heat, you mean even in winter they don't need a furnace? Can there be such a thing?
They don't. In Germany, they're doing it, and there's a man in Boston who's doing it right now, and I think he's planning to live in a house that's going to be about 63 degrees. But I know it's possible. I just wondered why,
wow,
we're not doing more of it.
Yeah, super efficient homes. Like, do jumping jacks or I don't know, make the toast and it helps heat the house. How far can we take efficiency here, Kevin?
Well, it can be done. I think the category the caller is talking about is called the passive house or passive house from the German term. I don't know a lot about them, but it certainly can be
like
done.
Like a foot of insulation and
exactly.
Everything sealed up tight.
And a lot of times they have adjoining party walls, so it is one unit amongst 10 units, and mm-hmm. So you have these interior spaces, lots of masonry construction. The reality is it's a technology that is possible, but I don't think it will ever go mainstream because in America, at least, we have standalone, single-family, detached houses. And it is very, very difficult to create a house that uses no heat, no furnace. Now, that's not to say that we can't get super efficient homes.
Mm-hmm.
We've shown some of them on this old house. And you can actually get a home that uses zero energy, a net zero house. But keep in mind, to accomplish that, you are generating energy on site, either through solar panels on the roof or geothermal underground. Somehow. The passive house, don't hold your breath waiting for a contractor to show up in your neighborhood and build you a passive house.
But Norm, what about the soul of the American house? Maybe it will evolve. The energy costs seem to be going higher and higher. There's a lot of talk about new urban centers, denser housing, people not necessarily wanting to be spread all over the exurbs in a standalone house. I mean, you've had your finger on the pulse of this for a long time. Is it possible that the little house in the prairie country could end up with people living in more kind of honeycomb houses, more tightly packed, and love it?
But it may be that as a society we may, you know, gather in more localized areas where we could do that. I mean, think about row houses in the cities. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a lot about what Kevin is just talking about, side by side by
right.
side, exposure
mm-hmm.
only on the front and back, and
yep.
a roof.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been there already for mm-hmm. a while, and there seems to be a little bit of a move, you know, back into the city, into more urban settings. Again, it's the same issue Kevin brings up about all the existing homes. That would take forever. I don't think we're going to change totally, but I think you will see a move towards, you know, communities that can offer those kinds of energy-saving houses.
Deborah, when you deal with people whose houses you're working on, are they willing today to put much more into efficiency in terms of what they're prepared to spend? I mean, you can really put a super effort into that, or you can do a more traditional kind of balance of spending and not get as efficient a house. Are people really wanting to step up on the efficiency side, or, oh, I'd rather have that beautiful fireplace?
You know? No, I think so. I think we've installed solar panels on two houses in the last 4 years, and that's certainly more than, you know, say, in the previous 10 years, I would say. So I think there's a return to it, and I think they realize the benefit of pay a little more up front and realize the savings down the line.
Let's get a caller right here, if we can, from Thompson, Georgia. Joe. Joe, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I've watched this old house for many, 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 many years, probably more than I want to admit to.
Maybe 30.
But I just wanted to thank them for the inspiration and the demystifying of building. And even Norm's show, his other TV show, would cabinet through work.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I started our own house. And we dug the foot and poured the concrete, laid the brick, framed it, put the roof cap on.
The whole
everything.
Deal. Wow.
And one of the main reasons to do it was, you know, I'm the cheapest labor I had.
Yeah, me too.
When we finished this house, it was paid for. I think this will be a little telling on how long it's been now, but I dried it in for $3,000.
Wow.
And then every payday, I went and bought materials, and sometimes I would run out of time or run out of money. And it's just, but when it was finished, it was paid for. And I just wanted to thank them for all these years of the shows they've been having.
That's a pretty great story. Joe, how much of your, I don't know, courage and capacity to do that do you attribute to this old house? I mean, would you have done it without them on television, do you think, or not?
I don't know. I probably wouldn't done as good a job. And when I built it, I super insulated it. You know, it has mm-hmm. 6-inch insulation in the wall with inch of styrofoam over that mm-hmm. and that type thing. And
it's a great story. It's a great story. Joe, I appreciate your sharing that with us. I mean, Kevin, that's the kind of legacy you're carrying here. He lives in that house. He built it with his wife with their own hands. Now they own it. He's not in danger of foreclosure. He thinks this old house in part. But there is something inspiring about people being, armed with the knowledge and kind of confidence that comes from watching this get done, to go out and really do things on their own that are then theirs.
If you wake up in the morning on this show and try to figure out, you know, am I going to go to work and what sort of mood am I going to be in, you think of the words that we've just heard over and over: inspired, mm-hmm. empowered, mm-hmm. demystified. That's what these guys have been about for 30 years. And it is. Self-reliant people need a hand from time to time. But if you go out and build your own deck, you're not only going to save a buck, but I think you're going to stand just a little bit taller knowing that what's underfoot was done by your own hand. And that's what these guys have been bringing to public television for all that time. So I agree with your caller. And, Norm, it sounds like you've got a place to stay in Thompson, Georgia. Yeah.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. If there's yeah. a guest room. The DIY impulse, do-it-yourself, growing or diminishing, Norm, over time? I mean, are Americans as ready as they were in 1979 to grab that hammer and go for it? Or, you know, have we all developed what we'll call the contractor approach to getting home projects done?
My guess would be it's probably stayed about the same. I think, as more people owned homes, I don't think it incrementally got larger. We had larger numbers of DIY people because of jobs and commitments to their families. They just don't have the time to do it. Even on our show, we've had less ability to draw homeowners who have enough free time to be on the show hands-on to continue to inspire those who view the show.
Because everybody's out working.
They're working. They're trying to pay the bills. So there's not as many people doing the real big DIY jobs, I think, but there are more people doing things like Ask This Old House on the weekends, maintaining their homes, because they finally have learned that maintenance is the key to less cost in owning a home.
You know, you could have done this off television. I mean, it's what you were doing when This Old House showed up in 1979. Do you ever daydream about what that would have been like? I've seen contractors at builder shows just walk toward you like, you know, oh, Norm. But you could have been out there like on your own just doing it. Is this better?
I was contracting before This Old House. That's
right.
How I was discovered. And I'm happy that I ended up where I am, because had I just remained a contractor, I would have satisfied my own goals and helped some people renovate their homes, but it would have only been a handful of people. I think by being on this show, being lucky enough to be on this show, and hearing the comments from people, it has really been a trip.
Well, no question about it. And people living in that trip, in many of the houses produced by that trip along the way, as Norm Abrams been there for 30 years, Kevin O'Connor with you hosting it today, and on it goes. Deborah Hood producing those shows week after week, and on the air they go. It was fun to see your crew on the job site last week, a real good spirit there, kind of a testament to the good energy of this show over the years. Kevin, Norm, Deb, thanks. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Listeners, that's This Old House and On Point. Thanks for joining us.